korkun kalkı trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bu lan. Dağdaş doğdan dur bu da moro da.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, giving you three this week. That's how we do it. I was so impressed with this guy. I'm like, you know what? I got to get this guy on the podcast. Normally don't do Wednesdays, but I'm like, listen, this guy right here is a stud. He's 13-1.
14-1.
Sorry, I already fucking understand.
It's all right, bro.
He fights for Bellator. He fought a guy last week that was – they were making this guy as the hot prospect. They were, like, picking him. This guy was 5-0. What's the guy you beat again? What's his name?
Cass Bell.
Cass Bell. I don't even know his name anymore. That's how bad you beat him. Cass Bell is also a stud. But you made it look easy. You made it look easy, and you were up 2-0, and maybe even 10-8 rounds, and you went for the finish. And you got the tap, which I was like, you know what? That's a guy who's not just there to win. He's there to make a point. How do you feel, man?
Man, I feel great, man. I feel amazing. It's good to be home. Good to be have it all done and have it end the way it ended.
Did that fight go exactly how you thought it was going to go?
No, I wanted to finish him in the first round, man. I thought I was going to be able to get him out of there in the first round.
You almost did. I almost did
with that guillotine. I almost took him out, but, you know, I got to go back and work on my guillotine and get better at it, you know. But, yeah, I wanted to finish him in the first round. That was when I first started that the manifestation thing, like pretty much saying what I want. I envisioned finishing him in the first round. But, you know,
wait, hold on.
Just kept plugging away.
What is this manifestation thing? What are you talking about?
So, what's it called? Not manifestations, but God dog it. When you say stuff and you just say it over and over to yourself.
Right.
Okay. I had the word. Now I forgot.
What you were screaming during the rounds?
Yeah, I've been saying that to myself probably thousands of times a day. During camp, during my fight preparation, during like my runs, my extra workouts and stuff, you know, I've just been saying it to myself, pretty much you're confident and fearless in all that you do. You dominate exciting and finish fights. I've been saying that over and over in my head.
Well, no, it was awesome. And the thing about it was that, you know, I went back and watched a lot of your fights, and a lot of your fights, it's, you know, you're an awesome wrestler. You're a 2-time national champion. We'll get that. We'll get into that in a second. But it seems like you got a little bit striking heavy in some of your fights.
Yeah,
want to prove that you could punch and kick. And maybe the fights were a little closer than you probably could have made them had you wrestling. Where this one, you're just like, you actually used your wrestling a lot more in this one.
Yeah, yes, sir. And that was – most of the times I'm doing that because I feel like I'm – I want to show things that I've worked on and things that I've gotten better on, you know what I mean? But I'm at a point now where I just need to go out there and dominate in any fashion I feel like I can dominate, you know, and I'm most dominant in the grappling.
Oh my, yeah, I mean, so, because I went back and looked at some of your stuff. You started wrestling as a junior.
Yeah.
Late start.
Yeah, late for sure. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know I started real late for wrestling, junior in high school.
Well, I mean, what took you so long?
I didn't even know it was a sport, man. Where I grew up, we didn't know about wrestling, like, at all. And so then when my mom had moved us out of the neighborhood that I grew up, see, I got a better job and moved us to kind of a better neighborhood. And then, at school, one of my coaches, he was my teacher, my science teacher. He said he's a coach of a wrestling team, and he'd give out a free quiz grade if we came out and just tried it out. And I came out and tried it out pretty much.
Wow. Well, that's why it's so important. Like, because I coach wrestling now, and the high school team has a guy. I coach a middle school team. I'm doing it for like 12 years. I started the high school program. And the problem is the coach doesn't go to the school. He comes in afterwards. You got to have someone in the school.
Exactly. You got to have some. Yeah, exactly. Because I was teaching at a or I've been teaching off and on at high schools around here. And yeah, if you don't have a teacher in the school, it's hard to like build a wrestling program. You know what I mean? That's how I feel like he was able to build his wrestling program. He got, you know, people from the classroom to just try it out, you know, and nobody's going to try it out. It's weird looking, I feel like, for outside and kids, you know what I'm saying, to get involved in the first place. So you got to have somebody with a connection with them for them to want to get involved.
Yeah, and then he sees this, like, probably super athletic, short, black kid.
Yeah.
You know what?
Exactly. He's like, yeah, you might be, hey, you might not know this, but you might be really good at this sport. And it, I mean, it turned out I was like, I picked it up really fast, like super fast.
Yeah, no. And then, so you were 16. Your father wasn't around. Your mom.
So my father was around, but he was in a different state. So he was living in Washington D.C. You know, so he would call and you know and things like that. You know, send he was on child support, so he would always pay. You know, and stuff like that. So he wasn't like. Not around. He was just in a different state, so he wasn't as involved as he would have liked to have been. You know what I mean?
But your mom, you grew up in Section 8 housing, and yep. mm-hmm. and your mom actually saved up for her own house. So you guys,
yeah. So my mom, my mom has an amazing story herself. Like she had me at like 17. I want to say it was like 17 or whatever. And so in the beginning of my life, like. She was living with my great grandma because her mom had drug related problems and was not taking care of her the best or whatever. So she was like on her own very early, and so we were taken care of by my great grandma and my great aunt and for like the first year or two of my life, I spent. In that household. And then when my mom got on her feet and got her an apartment, it was in Section 8 housing. And so she pretty much had to strip me from my great-grandma. My great-grandma didn't want to give me up. I remember them arguing about it, like her like saying, no, I'm taking my son. Like I can handle it, you know? And so she took us and me and my little brother, cause I think she had just had my younger brother is like 2 years younger than me. And so, yeah, she took us to this Section 8 housing called Garden City in Houston, Texas. And so then, from there, you know, she kept working. She kept working in the she was like a not a secretary, but she worked in a cubicle. I don't really know what exactly she did. But, I mean, she worked her way up. She got, like, her associates, I feel like, through the company she was working for. And just kept moving up through the company and end up moving. So also she got married when I was like maybe 11 to my stepfather. And so they moved out to like the north part of town, like a better part of Houston. And then they moved into a house in Tomball, Texas, which is even northern. Northerner, however you say it, further up north. So then they got a house, and then that's where I started wrestling.
So you're working all the time. Who's watching you?
You say what? Where she was working?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I guess CPS can't call or it can't be called now, but, you know, it was some times where we spent, I spent time alone, you know, and she would also, I mean, she had friends and stuff, you know, we would spend time with family. We had family close, you know, so we would spend time there off and on, you know what I mean? But yeah, we probably shouldn't, we were probably home a lot by ourselves, you know. I mean, if we weren't in school and stuff, you know, and it's never like a long time, probably like a couple hours, you know, before she got home from work type of thing.
Right. Wow.
But yeah.
Man, so then your mom passes away when you're 16 years old, which I'm sorry about that. That's horrible.
Yep.
And then now, are you the man of the house?
So, yeah, well, so when she passed away, yep, we didn't get along with my stepfather, and it was no fault of his. It was just what we thought, you know, he was a stepfather, you know what I mean? And
so
we didn't like him because he was stealing our mom type of thing.
Right.
You know, it was nothing against him. Like, I'm really cool with him now. He's a good man. but yeah, I just, we didn't like them. So when my mom passed, you know, we went pretty much, our brothers, we were like split, but we weren't. Like, we went to, me and my youngest brother went to my mom's sister's house. And so then I was in my mom's sister's house with my younger brother, but I would have to commute because they wanted me to stay in the same school because I was doing the wrestling already, and I felt like I could go to college with it. And so I would like commute probably like an hour from my great aunt house that I stayed in when I was like really little. I would commute from her house to the school, and that's, I just have to drive there every day, you know, so I can go to school and then do the wrestling program. And so then my middle brother was with someone from our church family, and so he would stay there during the weekends, and then during the he would stay there during the weekdays, and then the weekends we would all kind of meet up either at church or at my mom's sister's house. So we were like separated, but we would like come together kind of on the weekends and you know, hang out. And
How'd your mom pass away?
She had actually pneumonia in both her lungs. Was the final. She was like in and out of the hospital with. I feel like it was pneumonia, or that's what they told us. It was pneumonia in both her lungs. But if she had like health complications, feel like all, not all my life, but like the later part of my life. And she was also, she must have knew she was gonna pass because she would like have conversations with us with like, oh, if I died or whatever, like, would y'all guys still go to church and, you know, stuff like that, which we never thought nothing of it. You know, she kind of brought it up pretty nonchalantly, like, and it wasn't nothing that crossed my mind. But now thinking back, like, oh man, she like maybe knew she was gonna pass.
Well, I mean, just the fact that like you were able, like you must have, you know, you're a really strong person because a lot of people would have taken some of the things you went through and went the other way, you know?
Yeah. Yes, sir. And that, I credit that to, I mean, my family, I credit it how, you know, to how she raised me and how she, you know, I feel like prepared us. And I had a lot of good people around me too, you know, a lot of people telling me like, stick it through, you know, you'll be all right.
So then you end up going to junior college.
And what happened was, man, I was, my grades were like, I was in like honors classes and things like that. But when my mom passed, I just like, what slipped. My grades like slipped, dramatically. And I was like only focused on the wrestling. Like I was like, okay, the wrestling is what's going to get me to college or whatever. And it got to the point where like I had made it to state my junior year. But my grades had came back in my report card where
you're one of those
I
kids.
I couldn't go. So my junior year, I made it to state, but I couldn't even go to state because my grades weren't good.
Nothing as a coach.
So that next year, I had to drop from all my honors classes, and I had to. But I got my grades, you know, to do better or whatever. But every D1 school that they would contact me like in the summer because I did like Fargo and stuff like that. And everyone, they would be like, oh yeah, we're interested. And then they find out what my grades look like. And then like, no, we can't really, do anything for you scholarship wise. And so, yeah, I went to the junior college and I walked on to the junior college. And that was like really good for me because it taught me to kind of be independent in a place where, you know, there wasn't a lot of other things to do besides wrestling. So it wasn't a lot for me to get in trouble with. And I could focus on my schoolwork and focus on my wrestling, you know.
It shows a lot about you because I wrestled in college and I lasted like a semester because I got distracted with the girls and the drugs.
Yeah, see? I feel like because I wrestled, man, at junior college was crazy too because I was coming from Houston, you know, and then I was going to this town that had like 3 street lights, you know, in the whole town, you know? So it was like all there was to do was to wrestle there. You know what I mean? So, and my coach Joe Renfro, was amazing. You know, he's an amazing junior college coach. He, had multiple national champions. He was like always in the top 3, but, he would have us in study hall and he was so disciplined and such a hard ass that nobody like really questioned anything. Like if he said to do something, like, you know, a lot of the people in junior college were at risk teens or, you know, at risk youth, like people that are, you know, like really good at wrestling, but didn't like to listen to anybody or having problems with school. But he was like he was such an, what do you call it? Like a hard nose, like we respected him so much that we would do whatever it is he wanted us to do.
A good coach. And then, so then you become an All-American at junior college. Then you
I All-American my first year. My second year, I did an All-American. I tore my meniscus and some other. Yeah, I just tore my meniscus. I had a bad year that second year. But I was able to get a scholarship at a four-year college.
See, you go to Nebraska Kearney, which isn't that where Usman went?
Yep, that's what Kamaru Usman. Yeah, that's where he wrestled. He actually wrestled the year before. So he was there the year before I was there. And he was like roommates with one of my best friends, Josh Smith. And it's funny because like as I was moving my stuff in, you know, he was like he was there kind of figuring out what he was gonna do the next year or where he's gonna move. And he was like, hey man, like you all right? Like everything all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm all right. Cause he was also my Team Texas. He was one of my coaches for Team Texas, so I knew him already, you know. Okay. And he was like, hey, you doing all right or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing all right. He was like, hey, I just want to let you know, man. You know, the season is going. It's a long season, you know. So you be ready for. I was like, I'm ready for a season. I wrestled a college season. I'm ready. He's like, all right, listen. I'm just trying to let you know to be ready. My mom told me to make sure you all right. So,
oh,
you know,
that's nice.
I'm just saying, I'm just making sure you all right. You good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good. He's like,
that's real nice. And you win the national twice.
Yep, D2. I won nationals twice there. Yep, yes, sir.
Now, in the back of your, because D2 is great. I wrestled D3 at Binghamton, but there was always a back of my head of like, how would I would have done D1? Did you ever have
exactly? For sure, man. So every time, I wrestled a lot of the D1, you know, tournaments, or I mean, every tournament that you wrestle, like anybody can show up. But I definitely, you know, that was definitely like a, man, I wish I could have seen how I did against a lot of the. I actually wrestled, who was it? Montel Marion, but it was like a couple years after for like a grappling, like a. It was like they was putting on wrestling events, kind of like it was a MMA event for Victory, actually. Victory Fighting Championships. But, yeah, so I wrestled him, but I lost to him by a point or something. I was out of shape.
That's all
right. But, yeah, I always did wonder.
So you're a D2 national champion, and then Jens Pulver and Pat Miletich hire you to be the wrestling coach over at their gym.
Yeah, so it was Jens Pulver. He was starting a gym in Kearney, Nebraska. So where I wrestled. So I had finished wrestling, and at this point, I was like a student teaching or a student. I forget what the grad assistant or whatever. I was working on my graduate degree, and I was helping coaching during that time to help pay for it. And so then they had asked me to come and help with their gym. To come help with the wrestling at their gym. And so I met Jens Pulver through Josh Smith again, because Josh Smith was also wrestling, or he was also fighting at that time. Josh Smith and TJ Hepburn. And so then I went over to help with wrestling, like some of the wrestling classes. And then Jens got me to do some jiu-jitsu classes, and he got me to do some boxing classes or whatever. And then he was like, man, you already know, you know, a lot of stuff. You might as well go ahead and hop in a fight or whatever. And I was like, well, all right, let's
You just said, all right. You're not even like, because I know.
I had been training. I've been training, though. Like I was training those guys, and then I was hopping into classes. So I was training probably about three months. I was training like 3 months. And he was like, yeah, let's try to find you a fight or whatever. Because he was still fighting at the time, and I was helping him train. And, we were all helping him train, me, Josh, and TJ. And then we were, you know, training the guys at the gym. And so then, he was, like, hopping the fight or whatever. But it took me a while. It took me, like, three to four months to, like, find opponents, you know, because of the wrestling. I feel like it was hard to find an opponent. And so then what happened? I think we got a fight. while I was in Kearney still. And then the gym was end up, it was closing down because he was like moving. He was doing a Winter Warrior. He was doing, Winter Warrior in Australia. So he was going to have to move to Australia soon or whatever. So they closed the gym down. And I actually moved. Me and Gents drove to Iowa to move to Pat Millett's gym.
Yeah.
So we drove there to Iowa. It's a funny story too, because we like ran out of, his car didn't have the gas meter on it or whatever. So we ran out of gas like on the way from Nebraska to Iowa. And we had to like ask this lady who was on the way to, man, I wish I knew this lady or could find this lady now, but this lady was like on her way to pick up her kids from daycare. And I was like, I had knocked on her door and said, if you got a gas can or something, like we ran out of gas, if we can find our gas can. So I like rolled in the back seat with her kids and stuff, and we got a gas can and came back to tent and filled it up, whatever, and then made it to Iowa. And so then that's how I ended up in Iowa training with those guys.
Well, hold on. Well, I want to hear the rest of the story because you have a whole career. But first, I got to tell you something about something really important, okay?
And that is
the final 22 teams have made their way down to Orlando and are ready to get back on the court. And with the ending of this year's basketball season, will be different from the – I know it's going to be different than the last year, but that's okay. No shortage of action in DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To celebrate the return of basketball, DraftKings will have not one, but two $1 million top prizes through the first 2 days of the resumed season. So get in all the action now. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball, very easy to play. Just pick 8 players, set underneath the salary cap, and pile up points for 3-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. No better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test. Compete for $1 million, okay? I know you could use $1 million, so can I.
Oh, for now, sure.
You got a son and a wife and the whole thing. Now, with millions of bucks up for grabs this week, no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. So call to action. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code ROASTED to get a free shot of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code ROASTED to get a free shot at millions of dollars with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, so your first fight coming in, right? How nervous are you?
You know, I wasn't nervous. I was excited because I felt like, you know, at that point before I had a fight, I felt like I was ready to fight, you know? So I was like almost too – I didn't know what to be nervous about, so I wasn't nervous. You know what I mean? I had no – like, yeah, I was like – I had no fear because I wasn't smart enough or I wasn't experienced enough to know what it was.
I had to say, you're in stand-up comedy. I've been in comedy 21 years, and like the first couple of times, I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm scared of bombing. I'm like, I didn't even think about bombing. Like,
exactly.
But were you planning on using your wrestling, or were you like, you know what, I'm going
to
box?
No, so my first couple fights, I wanted to just use the boxing. I had boxing, and I wanted to use just my boxing. That's how I wanted to finish the fight. But I ended up using it. I ended up using wrestling. I think I ended up, I had him in like a anaconda standing, and he was like 6'1". And I like picked him up by his head or whatever and had him in an anaconda, and his feet were dangling. And then he like went limp, and then I set him down. And then I thought I was like the greatest ever.
Well, so many of your fights, you knock the guy down and then you do some kind of weird airplane thing. Like, what is that?
Oh, yeah. That was like my second or third fight. Yeah, because I was.
What is that? Celebrate. What is that?
Super,
what is,
yeah, I was. What is I was that? Like, I was. That's what I thought was my gimmick, the Superman. I was Superman, so I was flying around.
Oh, like, you were. Okay.
Like I was Superman.
I didn't know what was going on. I just know you knocked the guy out, then you start flying, and I'm like.
Yeah, like I was Superman.
But I feel like you practiced more of the Superman than the fighting. It seemed like you were more excited about
that fight. I did. I was thinking about, I think I had got shirts made or something super, and I thought like, oh man, everybody gonna think I'm Superman.
I'm gonna do a backflip. You seem like you were into the celebration more than.
Oh yeah, I definitely was. I practiced my celebration more than I probably practiced what I was gonna do in the fight, for sure.
So many times, and then like, I mean, there were some fights you head kicked people, they went stiff. I mean, you were knocking people out left and right. And then like your seventh fight, you fight Jeff Curran, who must have had
he must have had
50 fights on him or something.
I fought him. I think I was like 7-0. And I had fought Jeff Curran, which was he had a lot of fights and a lot of experience.
And then you fight most Emerson of my fights. After that. And then Emerson, I'm like, damn, who's your manager? Like, he's throwing you in with, like,
I asked for those. I asked for those fights because, first of all, I mean, I feel like the way I train to be elite, and I want to fight the elite. Also, like, I don't agree with the business model of not being thrown into the fire, you know? I feel like some people, you know, they feel like in the beginning they want to protect their record and they want to protect, you know, protect how they look or look a certain way. Like they want to beat people to look good or whatever. But I like actually want to be good. I want to be known. I want to be a killer. You know what I mean? So I gotta fight killers and I gotta be in there with killers. So that's kind of how, like, I've always trying to take fights. First of all, it's hard for me to get people on my level. Nobody really wants to risk their record or risk looking like they're not good. I feel like I had a problem with that in the beginning where I was like, no, like my first fight, the dude fell out or whatever. So I fought a dude that was kind of a last minute replacement. But then my second or third fight, I fought a guy that was like 9-1 or 9-2. It was actually my third fight, I believe, because it was like my second fight at Rufus Sport. And they gave me a guy that was like 9-2, and I was like, yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? I want to fight the guys that are like supposedly good. I want, like, that's what I want. You know?
Well, you have. I mean, even the guys in the LFA you fought. Some of these guys, one guy you beat has a victory over Marlon Moraes.
That guy, what's his name? Rafa Costa. Yeah, he's got a guy, over a UFC title challenger, you know what I mean? So, that was a fight that happened last minute too, which, to be honest, like, my coaches didn't want me to take that fight, you know what I mean? They didn't want me to take that fight because they were like, this guy poses like he poses a threat and he's not really worth, you know, us like fighting or whatever. But in my mind, I'm like if he poses a threat, like that's the person I want. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it was a time too where my original opponent had backed out or got hurt and so this guy has stepped up and a couple other guys were maybe gonna step up, but this guy said yeah. So I was like, yeah, man, I don't wanna end up not fighting nobody, you know what I mean? And that was a time too where my finances was like, hey, I need to fight.
Because I know that Rob Emerson before your fight said this guy hasn't fought, that he said that your record was hand-picked.
He said my record was padded and I wasn't ready to fight his caliber of fighter.
Which, you know, at that point, like, Rob Emerson's a really good fighter, and at that point, was fighting UFC guys.
And he was like the double champ at the time, and he had beat the guy at 45, knocked him out, and he had won the belt at 35 or whatever. So I was like really excited to fight him, you know. And I remember him saying that. I remember him saying like, "Oh, this guy's fighting nobody. He thinks he's ready for me." Or whatever, but I was like, okay, then after I beat you, you know what I'm saying, what you gonna say then? Yeah. Like, are you somebody to beat? Because if not, go tell me who I need to beat for me to beat, you know, what's the name? You know, I don't feel like Rob Emerson liked me a lot.
He happens to be a real nice guy. I think he was just trying to get in your head, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. No, after he was like, I mean, he was coolest. I mean, I only exchanged a little bit with him after, or inside the ring, you know, after a fight, you know. So, you know, he probably cool. I just say never talk to him.
The one hiccup in your fight was against that guy, Merab. Now, that fight, I watched that fight because I was like, because I remember when I was talking about your Cass Bell fight, I'm like, I looked at your record, and I'm like, this guy's 13-1. He lost in 15 seconds. I'm like, that's one of those things where it was a spinning back fist. And I was talking to Ellenberger about that, me and Jake, and I'm like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather, in some ways, lose by a fluke spinning back fist that you didn't see coming in 15 seconds than get dominated and all your flaws exposed. You know?
And see, I look at it a different way or whatever. Because, I mean, I look at it like, I lost in 15 seconds, but I feel like, man, I didn't get a chance to, like, fight. I didn't get a chance to, like, show nothing, you know? But, you know, so I'd rather be, if somebody's, like, beating me, I'd rather it be somebody that, like, dominated me. So I'd be like, okay, well, I exhausted every resource. I just can't beat this. Or I didn't show up, you know? But I feel like for me, it was like a super, what I needed. I needed a learning experience of, because to be honest, like when I, my mindset going into fights before that fight was like, was kind of like my mindset in wrestling. In wrestling, I would, even my Joe Renfro, he told me, he was like, okay, the first 30 seconds or so, like, you're just going to feel them out, you know, the wrestler, you know what I'm saying? You feel them out, you give him some head snaps, you see where he's at or whatever. And then, you know, you slowly start turning up the heat on him until he can't, you know, take it anymore. Where in fighting, especially, like, I feel like fighting me, from the jump, people are scared. People are, like, you know, like, on high alert, you know? So, and I feel like that strike was, I don't want to say it was a fluke. I want to say it was like him reacting out of like fear, reacting out of fear, and his adrenaline was like pumping. You know what I mean? So he like did that quick, like a quick, I feel like defensive move or whatever, you know. But it landed. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't do it to land. That's so I don't want to call
anybody
it a fluke.
Watching, he throws a head kick. You block the head kick. After the head kick, he comes with a spinning back fist, which I've never seen. I've watched thousands and thousands of fights before. And I still was like, whoa, like that's, I have never seen that before.
Exactly. And I'm thinking in my head, and that's my fault, because I'm thinking in my head, okay, my technique would tell me, I blocked the head kick, I returned with a 1-2. You know what I mean? That was just in my head. So I blocked the head kick, and I'm not even thinking to react what he's doing. I'm thinking of, I'm just like, okay, I react with a 1-2, but I didn't have my two hand high. I figured, I think he came that way, or I spent him. No, he came that way, and I wasn't thinking he was gonna be on offense or anything like that, and you know, I got caught, and it was. Because I wasn't ready.
Well, I've never seen that before. And I was like, watch that. I'm like, okay, it said spinning back fist on Sherdog. And I'm like, okay, maybe he just came. I'm like, whoa, head kick.
And it was a beautiful move, man. I can't knock it. You know what I'm saying? It was beautiful.
He got me, you know what I'm saying?
But that's definitely one fight. You know, if I had to fight again, you know, I think I dominate. I think I do a lot better. But you know, that's why we do the fights,
and
man.
That guy's fighting John Dodson a couple weeks.
Yeah, and he's doing amazing. You know, he's doing amazing in the UFC. So I'd rather be, you know, I'm so happy that he's doing good, you know, because that makes me look a little bit better. You know what I mean?
You know what? Here's the thing. You know, it's like, a champion is not about when things are going well. It's how they respond when things aren't going well. So that was a lot of pressure on you. It was on Dana White's looking for a fight. So now you got Dana White coming to see you. Who knows what you're thinking? My big
brain. I was thinking past that point. I was thinking like, okay, he's gonna be tough. I'm gonna win this fight, and then I'm gonna go on to the UFC and then start my reign in the UFC. That's what I thought.
And then 15 seconds later, you're like, what? That didn't go.
What though?
Now, a lot of people, like, you know, depression, self doubt. They would quit. I had my shot. Oh, my God. You went out and won 7 more fights in a row. and are now in Bellator. So
yeah,
it shows you how strong of a person you are.
And even after that fight happened, like, I knew in my mind I wanted to, like, get back on the horse right away, you know. Granted, the team, you know, they were smart. My management and my coaches and things were smart. Like, hey, let's wait it out. But also, I actually, no offense to my manager at the time, I had to get rid of my manager at the time because I felt like he was then like, okay, look, we need to you've had a knockout. We need to take it slow now. We need to pick our opponents, you know, now. Where in my mind, I'm like, no, that's the opposite of what I want, you know. We're not, like, on the same page. That's not going to deter my confidence just because I made a mistake in 15 seconds. Like, I don't want to, like, build my career off of, picking the fights. So, I wanted to fight right away, and I wanted to fight somebody tough right away. You know what I mean?
Well, you got three wins in the VFC. And then you went to the LFC, you got three wins, and now you got two wins in Bellator. Now, what does Duke Rufus say to you after that fight, though? What does he say? Like,
after the fight I just had?
Yeah.
Oh, he just messaged me the other day. He was, like, super proud and super, you know what I'm saying? He's happy, and he's, you know, this is fun, you know, for us, because we put in a lot of work together, and I'm starting to really, like, believe in myself, and I feel like he sees that, and he's just super happy with me right now.
That's great, man. Now, what does he say after the knockout, the 15-second knockout? Was he like, hey, man, that was a lucky punch? Fucking
no. Shit. So he said, I believe it was like, it was Duke Rufus is one of those people that he'll tell you what you need to hear. You know what I mean? So I remember it was like times where I'm like hitting the bag, and I'm not giving it my all, or I'm not, you know, I'm like going through the motions, and then he'll say stuff like that's how you got knocked out. Hey, that's how you know what I mean? But it like hurts. It hurts you in your heart, but it's things like you need, like it's stuff that's gotta trigger you. You know what I mean? It's gotta trigger you for you to make a change. You know what I mean? And like being knocked out is a really big trigger. So, you know, so I mean, some people, they feel like they don't, like, click with Duke because he's mean or he's, you know, he's tough on you or whatever. But, like, I appreciate, you know, I know that if you're not telling me stuff like that, you don't really care. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like, you only gonna, you know, tell me stuff like that when you, I mean, it'd be different if you were, like, telling me stuff like that all the time. You know what I mean? Or, you know, you're only shitting on me, you know, type of thing. Yeah. But yeah, so I take it as like if you take your time out of your day to tell me some stuff, you know, that's catered to me, you know, like you care, you know what I mean? So
he also knows you can take it. He knows how tough you are. He knows that, you know, that he says this to you.
I've been through some stuff. Like, this ain't the worst thing I've been through. You know what I mean? So he's just trying to put some fire into my butt. You know what I mean? Trying to get me to be where I want to be. So.
So did you think
that's the only thing I can like remember from that? What's the name? The other thing they said was like my coach Scott Cushman and Duke. They said that I was they took credit for me being. I was thinking too much, or I knew too many techniques or something at the time. At that time, like I was because I was trying to spin his. I spent. That's what it was. I checked the chick. Kick and I spent his leg around instead of like checking the kick and then going to 1-2. I checked it and because I was doing it a lot in the fight with Rob Emerson. I checked it and then I kind of like off center him. So I'm like pulling his leg this way and then he took that momentum and came
right,
around.
Right. So
that kinda, way, which we, you know, is, you know, it could happen.
It happened and it was not going to happen again ever.
No.
Now you've been calling out James Gallagher. I see you posting screenshots. Now he doesn't want to fight you. Is that what's going on?
No, he don't want to fight me at all, bro. He said no, and I'm not into. I don't need James Gallagher to fight me for me to you know make the title. I don't need him to fight me. I mean, I'm probably ranked above him in the world. I'm you know I don't need to fight James Gallagher. I just thought it'd be a fun fight to have if he wanted to fight. Whoop.
No. Yeah. He doesn't want any part of you.
I mean, he didn't want. No, he don't want. He like legitimately, and I haven't seen this before. I've had people like deny fights with me, but I've never seen, you know, somebody like come up outright to me and say, "Hey, bro, I don't want to fight you at all. Nope, not gonna fight you. I'll fight your teammate, but nah, I ain't gonna fight you."
Yeah, what teammate? So my Sergio.
I think he wants to fight Sergio Pettis, but it's like Sergio Pettis beat somebody that like smacked you, Sergio Pettis dominated Ricky Bandejas, who like, you know, wiped the floor with you. Like, you're not in that mix of you're just not in that mix of, you know, competition, you know. So it's like, you gotta get some wins, you know. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to get to that fight, you should probably fight me. But he sees it a different way. He feels like I don't know what he feels like. I think what he wants to do is stay in Ireland and fight kind
of.
Of
course, be a big fish in a small pond.
Yep, exactly. You know, yeah. And fight kind of people that he feels like he can win against. So, that's like, I don't want to, you know, pressure him into a fight. If he don't want to fight, I'm not a bully. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to bully nobody. If you don't want to fight, then don't, you know, I'm looking to get to the title. So you're not going to help me get to the title, really. You know what I mean? So
the fight between Caldwell and AJ McGee?
You say Caldwell and AJ McGee? Oh, man. Dog, I don't know. I feel like Caldwell will have the advantage on the ground and AJ will have the advantage on the feet. But, you know, AJ is – I feel like AJ is, like, really good. I don't really click with him because he got a beef with my homie Emmanuel Sanchez. So I don't really mess with him, you know what I mean? But I feel like AJ going to probably win.
It's like so I haven't seen any holes in his game so far.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, he's like good. He impressed me with that fight against Derek Campos. I didn't, you know, before that I was kind of like, okay, you a lot of hype, but you know, he impressed me with that fight.
So August 6th in Bellator, we got Chandler versus Ben Henderson. Who do we like?
I like Chandler, man. I feel like Chandler's something in his water. You know, he just don't stop.
Yeah. Tim Johnson versus Mitrione. I hope Tim wins.
I hope Tim wins too. He's on part of the same management team. I hope he wins. Matt Mitrione, I don't know, but Matt Mitrione, I'll take Tim.
I feel like whoever lands first is gonna win that fight. Georgi Karakanyan versus Miles Jury.
Man, I got Georgie.
I hope Georgie. Yeah. It seems like a lot of the ex UFC guys are coming over and not doing as well.
I think what happens is they come over and think that they just, you know, are levels above, and you know, every organization got, you know, killers, especially nowadays. So
that's
you true. Know, they gotta be ready to fight.
Derek Campos versus Adam Borix.
Oof, man, Derek Campos, man, I got freaking that that Borix is dangerous, man. I got Borix. He's a dangerous cat.
AJ Agazarm is taking on Chris Lencioni.
I'll go with Agazar.
Yeah, he's pretty. He's good, but the other kid's good. That's a good fight. They're both kind
of that Chris guy is like really good on the ground though.
They're both maniacs. Now Roy Jones Jr. versus Mike Tyson.
Oh man, I got Mike Tyson, man. I got Mike Tyson.
You got Mike?
So the only reason I say this is because I seen that freaking video of him hitting pads at the age he's at, and he looked like a monster.
I don't know what Mexican steroids this guy's on.
He's taking some stuff. He's taking that tiger bomb, steroids. He looked like Charlie a monster. I seen Roy blood. Jones, and Roy Jones looked smooth, but Tyson looked like a monster.
I don't get it, because he looked like Oprah a couple years ago.
Yeah. Like he was all like brittle and freaking skinny and freaking. Now he's like, man,
crazy.
What happened?
All right, so it came out today that Paige VanZant might do bare knuckle boxing.
Is that real? I seen that. Is that real?
is this? I think this is a bad idea. Her face.
Oh, please don't do that.
Like, what is she doing?
Please
right?
don't do that. I hope that's fake. I really hope that's fake. I hope her husband would not let her do some stuff like that.
I mean, what does she have
you
to
know,
do?
Angel, don't she make a lot of money on Instagram because
saying,
of her looks?
Right? Yeah, right.
Like, bare knuckle, you are, like, almost guaranteed to get cut. Like, you're, like, there's a 90% chance you're going to end that fight with a cut on your face.
Yeah. Also, it got announced yesterday that in Tora MMA, Bigfoot Silva is fighting again. He's 1-8 in his last 9 fights. He's been knocked out 8 times in a row. He's in the same card as Paul Harris. Is this a good idea?
Is this this is a fight or not a grappling?
It's called Tora MMA. It's a new promotion in Florida. They signed Bigfoot Silva and also Paul Harris, who like never lets go of the people's. You know, he's the guy.
Yeah,
he's like that girl that blows you, that bites, that keeps the bites you after.
I mean, it's probably a good idea for Toro to have him because he's a big name, but. I feel like he should be done if he's been knocked 1-8. You know,
that's 1-8 in his last 9 fights. And that's only and bare knuckle. He's also 0-1.
So, he's fighting bare knuckle too.
Yeah, he lost in bare knuckle. He lost to Gonzaga. So
Man. Mm. Who he fighting? You know?
I don't know. Hopefully fucking Alzheimer's. But well, listen. Oh. Rough Beyond Stotts, it was an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much. When's your next fight? Anybody, any date or?
No, not yet. I know they got fights in August 7th, and I heard they may have one August 18th. I'm trying to stay in their ear, try to you know, stay in the loop. But yeah, hopefully I can get one by the end of the year.
I love it.
On COVID and Bellator and.
And where can people find you on Instagram or Twitter?
So you can find me, Rafion Stotts, RaufeonStotts, on Instagram and Twitter.
Well, thank you so much, man. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thank you.